You can support the ministry of Bob Enyart Live by subscribing to Bob's monthly Bible studies, monthly videos, monthly sermons, or monthly classic TV shows at kgovstore.com. You can also support the show and make a monthly or one-time donation by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm here to help. The big story on top of Drudge, a new Gallup poll says 50% of Americans now support legalizing marijuana.
It follows up on a show we did a month ago, why we should oppose the legalization of marijuana.
Indeed.
Literally 50% of Americans?
Well, the new Gallup poll suggests half the people. So a plurality, almost a majority of people now support legalizing marijuana.
Right. So back in the 1960s.
Well, the question was first asked by Gallup in 1969. At that time, 12% of Americans favored legalizing marijuana.
And 1% favored homosexual marriage. 1%.
Oh.
And very few favored killing unborn children.
Well, that just shows that as the culture becomes more intoxicated.
Yeah, and you know, the voice of the people, this is what the left says, the godless, rebellious left, that the voice of the people is the voice of God.
I've heard that.
That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, wide is the way that leads to destruction.
That's right.
So what I'd like us to do is to replay about 12 minutes or so of what you and I said about marijuana a month ago.
Okay.
And then if we could continue the conversation of why marijuana should not be decriminalized.
Yeah, I think there are a few more points that are worthy of your comment that we'll want to hear.
And yours. So let's hit it. Churches across Colorado are facing this issue where they got people in their church who say, hey, now we could smoke marijuana, and if I have chronic pain, back pain.
Problem with my dad.
I mean, I've had chronic pain my whole life. Does that mean it's chronic? That's redundant.
I've got several going on right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, every American has at least six significant ailments.
Absolutely. So yeah, by the time you're 40, right?
Yeah. So you go, you find a doctor who will go ahead and refer you. And then, like other drugs, let's say that for some reason you need Demerol.
You need codeine because you've got some healing bones.
You've broken
a bone, they give you some codeine.
You get a prescription for codeine, and it says you can manufacture it at home.
No.
No, it doesn't say that?
No.
I thought it did.
I haven't read that. I had some Vicodin with my tooth, and I don't recall.
And if your symptom clears up and you go back to the doctor, you were getting codeine, your symptom clears up and you say, well, can I keep taking it? I need another prescription. He's not going to let you keep taking it.
No.
Well, with medical marijuana, not only can you purchase it at a dispensary, but you can grow it at home.
Yeah.
Not one plant, not two, but three plants.
One other thing,
yeah,
and maybe this is putting too fine a point on it. I can't remember going to the doctor and having him suggest that I smoke my medicine. No matter how much pain I was in, he never said, well, you should probably smoke this.
Yeah. I've never seen where you can't buy your medicine within a couple thousand feet of a school.
Right. I don't think they have that rule against Walgreens.
Right. So, Doug, let's think through this. People who advocate medical marijuana, which seems to be just a step toward decriminalization, normalizing marijuana, because that's what most of the people I talk to, they want there to be no regulations. They don't want it to be a controlled substance. Just decriminalize it.
Yes, most of the advocates who worked to pass the law in Colorado, before they were medical marijuana advocates, they were advocates for the reform of marijuana laws in general.
So that's where we're headed.
Sure.
And in the meantime, we have people arguing as a way to get to that end that we need to decriminalize it and normalize it for treatment for all kinds of physical ailments. And maybe if you can't pay your mortgage this month, it's good for that.
If you look at the list, it appears to be a miracle drug.
It is a miracle.
Works for just about everything.
It's a miracle drug.
If you believe
so, the people who advocate this, they point to studies, and there are plenty of studies that say that marijuana is really good for you and it has virtually no side effects. And one thing that I remember is that we have studies that have shown that abortion does not increase breast cancer. I mean, that's the big thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, let's say, vaccines have no serious risks. Even those that are developed with fetal cells.
Yeah.
Spanking is harmful for the child. Mm. The death penalty is not a deterrent.
Yeah.
So when you realize that there is a political correctness that goes along with studies done by government or universities, then you have to realize that those studies are easily biased. Would you say on a college campus, is there a bias for or against marijuana?
They're for it.
They're for it.
They're for it.
I'm talking about the faculty.
They're on it.
They're on it.
Most of them are on it.
Right. So the faculty and the students,
yeah,
probably half of the rest of the staff.
Yeah.
It's overwhelmingly politically correct among faculty and students on college campuses to be pro-marijuana. And that's where most of the pro-marijuana studies originate.
Right there in the university.
Right.
Imagine that.
And so, of course, there are going to be studies that say, you know, eventually, cocaine is great for you. If you think marijuana is good for a bad back,
yeah,
just try some crack.
You know, Bob, and it sounds humorous now, but I think that's where we're headed. I think that's the agenda. Mm. And you know what astounds me in the Christian church? You would think that the natural reaction of the Christian church to this would be to be repulsed by the fact that these organizations are obviously not Christian organizations. They're dead set against everything that is good and right and moral. So we should have a natural knee-jerk reaction against the legalization of marijuana.
Yeah,
and
we should.
That.
In fact, the rebellion on college campuses and everywhere, really, against God will commonly express itself in this effort to overturn beneficial Christian traditions and norms.
Yeah.
Colleges produce millions of graduates, many overtly anti-Christian, and they turn into the professions, medicine, law, education, and it's generally against Christ. Now, there are studies that show how harmful marijuana is, and in so many ways.
Yes, yes. Very powerful.
And so you have conflicting studies like in everything. So we should be pro-abortion because, you know, abortion is good for a woman. It's safer than pregnancy.
It's legal.
And it's legal, and it helps with rape or incest and medical problems. Or we should be against spanking because that harms kids. And the death penalty is not a deterrent. And vaccines, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, we need a higher wisdom to decide which set of studies are most likely telling the truth.
And fortunately, being members of the body of Christ, we have access to that higher authority.
Yeah, we do. So we should be able to judge with righteous judgment, Jesus said.
Right.
So, Doug, long-term tobacco smoking. It's arguably it's bad for your lungs.
It's bad for your lungs,
but
yes.
But there are not millions of people who observe that people who smoke for many years end up with lower IQs and it makes them slow and stupid. I've never heard one person in my life say that, ever. No. On the other hand, there are millions of people who believe that pot makes you stupid.
Yeah, people who've observed people who smoke pot.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even probably most potheads think that pot makes you stupid.
Well, they do call it dope.
They call it dope.
Yeah.
They don't believe this because they've weighed conflicting scientific studies about its effect on your IQ and your ability to answer a question like, what is your name, without a 2 second pause.
Right. And I think it's derived from the same a situation which people called cigarettes coffin nails before there were ever studies that prove this.
Exactly. That. But even though studies conflict, we have the observations of millions of people over the long term that show that pot use leads to serious mental health issues, serious problems with judgment and moral judgment. Now, on the other hand, let's think about a glass of red wine.
All right.
In fact, every night with dinner. My great-grandfather did that for 60 years.
Right.
And we'll have red wine with dinner. You know, we go in phases. So how about somebody who, you know, they've had a glass of red wine every night with dinner? What is the general perception of the masses? Is that guy getting stupider over time?
No, he's probably easier to deal with and fairly well adjusted. Right. Generally, right?
Yeah, right.
People who have wine with dinner, at least in the United States, are generally in the upper income echelons, and they're smart people.
Well,
generally.
And if you go out to an Applebee's and somebody has a glass of wine with their dinner, there's not a perception that over time that guy is going to get slow and stupid make bad moral judgments.
No.
There is a widespread realization. Of course, those who advocate normalizing pot and using pot, they deny this. But I assert that there is a worldwide, widespread observation that unlike cigarettes or unlike normal users of wine or beer, not abusers, but normal users, it doesn't make you slow and stupid over time.
No, absolutely not.
And so I think when we look at the principles in God's word, as best I can do it, I conclude that the studies that show the dangers of marijuana are telling the truth. They're the ones telling the truth. And that those who accept the reports that there are no serious harmful side effects to marijuana are deceived, and many willfully so.
Yeah, willfully deceived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So marijuana, by its harmful effects on the brain, you know, eventually owns its users.
You know, that's why they call it marijuana and not marijuanita.
Oh.
Marijuana is the Spanish interpolation of Mary Jane. And it could go marijuanita, which would be an unmarried young Mary Jane, or marijuana, which implies that you're married to it with marijuana.
I did not know that, Doug. And I've been making that argument recently that you end up with a relationship with your marijuana.
That's exactly right.
You look at it almost as your savior.
And you will abandon your relationships with other people.
Yeah. And so you smoke marijuana, you take it however you take it, and eventually it owns you.
Yeah.
And it makes you start thinking that you're smarter and more insightful than others.
Yes.
And that you become more creative. In reality, millions of people can testify from firsthand use and from firsthand observations that regular pot use makes you stupid.
Yes.
And I assert that drinking a glass of, say, red wine every night for 30 years does not have a similar effect.
I would have to agree. I mean, anyone who's ever been a musician in a band always knows that it's the stoner in the band that ruins everything. He ruins everything.
So smoking pot, while people who do it think they're alert and smart, I think it puts their minds in a fog. And of course, you could take one hit or two hits or three hits, but marijuana is a lot stronger than it was in the 60s.
Yes.
And the stuff you get at a dispensary, one drag and you pull it into your lungs and you hold it.
And you hold it in there, yeah, see?
And you exhale and you're intoxicated at some level.
I would agree.
That's what...
Yes.
I mean, how many college students go to parties and they pass around a joint and they take one hit and they might get back to it. It might not come back around.
It might not.
But they can now, you know.
They're stoned.
They're stoned.
Yeah, they're stoned, especially with the stuff coming out of the dispensaries. It looks very intense.
Now, potheads will go to the internet. They know how to do that too.
Yes.
And they'll look to a website like drugwarfacts.org and they'll say marijuana is responsible for zero deaths per year. Zero.
That's ridiculous on its face. I mean, that's ludicrous to even...
Well, they can get that result by ignoring all the deaths from marijuana.
Okay, I was going to say you'd have to first ignore all the deaths. And then...
Yeah, if you ignore all the deaths from marijuana, you could get right to that result that there are zero deaths. But there are so many reports. Doug, I've reported on this show. I remember a Mother's Day crash in New Orleans where we were on for years killed 22 people, and USA Today reported that the bus driver's use of marijuana before the Mother's Day crash was determined to be the main cause of the wreck.
Sure.
And that's one example. And how about career-long doctors who will determine that marijuana is a significant contributing factor in deaths, suicides, crimes, and so on? There are specifics. I'm not just making a generality. Coroners who were senior coroners for 30 years who talk about the significant percentage of deaths that marijuana is a significant factor in.
And Christian should keep in mind that even if you don't kill someone or go crazy or rob a bank on marijuana, you still are depriving the Holy Spirit of yourself. You are altering your moral judgment. Mm. You are squandering the time that the Lord has given you instead of redeeming the time.
Yeah.
From a Christian perspective, these are things that the church needs to think about and make sure that their congregations are aware that it's at both ends of the spectrum. You can destroy and lose everything you have, or you can simply grieve the Holy Spirit and squander the time he's given you. And we should be advocates for neither of those.
I agree. Now, you know, 2 points. First, it should be illegal to be high, intoxicated.
Yes.
Second, any substance should be controlled if its normal use makes you high.
Makes
not
sense
the
to
abuse,
me.
Like abusing alcohol makes you drunk.
Normal
if
use.
The normal
now,
use
now the show
makes
is
you
not
high,
ending.
Like ecstasy or crack.
The show is not ending.
We're still here.
Bring us back up here. Now, Bob, you mentioned briefly there
that
there are studies.
There are studies.
There are studies. Just a few. Just off the top here, you know, the London Daily Telegraph reported that Dr. Turner, who's England's most senior coroner, he estimated that marijuana was a significant contributing factor in about 10% of the deaths he worked, including suicides.
Oh, that's tragic.
Yeah, and there's another British study of 853 drug-related deaths.
Yeah.
Cocaine, a principal factor in 147 of those. Marijuana, used as the principal drug or in a cocktail with other drugs in 51 of those deaths.
All right.
Another study of 50,000 Swedish Army conscripts found that those...
50,000?
50,000. That's a statistically relevant number of people.
Yeah.
Says that those who admitted at age 18 of having smoked cannabis on more than 50 occasions were 6 times more likely to develop schizophrenia in the following 15 years.
All right.
Then there was a Dutch study of 4,000
people. Wait, did you say 6 times more likely to be schizophrenic?
6 times more likely to be schizophrenic.
Wow.
Now, the Dutch did a study, 4,000 people in their general population, show that those taking large amounts of cannabis were almost 7 times more likely to have a psychotic symptom within the following 3 years.
Mm.
And one observation that's been talked about on the radio and television here in Colorado is that with our new regulations, we've got a lot more people now who are driving under the influence of marijuana.
Right.
And law enforcement agencies are trying to craft methods for dealing with the fact that we've got more people stoned driving cars now.
Right, exactly. And the federal government has said, we don't care if you have a medical marijuana license, you cannot own a gun.
That's right.
If you are using medical marijuana. So that, of course, is an interesting development.
And then, you know, I have a friend here, a friend at Denver Bible Church. He's a psychiatric nurse.
Yeah.
And
I know who you're
talking
about.
His anecdotal observation is that 90% of the people he deals with in the mental health ward for severe depression, schizophrenia, anxiety, they have marijuana use in their personal profile, in their past. So
yeah,
that's just a few.
So there's a tremendous amount of evidence. Now, people might say, well, there's disputing studies, there's conflicting studies, but it's absurd to say that there's no evidence that marijuana kills people or leads to mental health. It's just absurd. It's like a pothead phenomenon to say that pot doesn't have these harmful side effects. There's no evidence for
it. Yeah, even advocates for the legalization of whatever drug is your favorite, they should be willing to concede the point that they can be harmful and dangerous and even kill people.
So, Doug, it's been a few weeks since we did that show.
Yes.
And I looked up. I thought it was fascinating what you said about marijuanita.
Juanita versus Juana.
The etymology of the term. But where did you get that from? Because I couldn't find...
I heard you were researching it. I did some drilling down myself, and I've come to the conclusion that it might have been a pothead that told me that.
Okay.
And he might have been stoned at the time and just really in a creative swing.
Yeah, that's okay. That could be.
But the etymology of Juanita and Juana is accurate.
All right.
But that's about as far as I could get.
Yeah.
Figuring that out.
So, Doug, Mary Jane.
Yeah.
So, Doug, drugs should be available by prescription, THC and marijuana. Even the most mind-altering drugs like opiates, you should be able to get a controlled substance carefully and mercifully prescribed for medical conditions.
Sure, many of the substances God made can be poisons or they can be drugs and effective therapeutic agents if they're administered properly.
Right, exactly right. And at Denver Bible Church, you know, we're not saying we want people to suffer. Of course not.
No.
But there's a denial that the normal use of marijuana produces a quick high. There's a denial of that. And so that leads to a real danger. So we disagree with those who advocate the mainstreaming of marijuana to make it available as a standard treatment for all kinds of aches and pains.
Yeah.
And it is absurd, as we said in that segment, that you're going to smoke your medicine.
Yeah, well,
and you're going to produce it at home. You're going to grow your own.
Yeah.
You can't buy it within 1,000 feet of a school. I mean, this is all evidence that we're not talking about medical treatment.
No. Well, it begs the question, if other drugs are available by prescription, Bob, why should marijuana not be? And I think you answered that at the very beginning. You said THC very well should be available on a
right.
prescription basis,
right.
a control
Which it
basis.
Has been for many years.
But the medical marijuana law in Colorado is different from the other controlling laws that control, say, OxyContin or opiates.
Because,
it's much different.
Because you grow it at home.
And
you got a meth lab at home.
And you administer
Let's
it yourself. Decriminalize
drugs.
And you administer it yourself.
Make them at home.
Whatever quantity you feel is necessary.
Right.
You can't do that with other drugs. So that answers that question. But another question in the debate is, hey, Bob, alcohol is legal. Why
yeah.
shouldn't marijuana be legal, dude?
You know, the normal use of alcohol does not make people intoxicated. The normal use.
Right.
The normal use of marijuana does.
Mm.
You get a joint, you take one hit, two, three, we talked about this,
yeah.
and you are high. And Doug, now alcohol has been legal for centuries, and
yeah.
we had a short time of prohibition
yeah,
when
yeah.
it wasn't. But pastors don't advise people, oh, you've got back pain or whatever, take a rum and coke and keep drinking your rum and coke until the pain is alleviated. We don't.
No, I haven't heard that.
Christians don't advise that to one another. And it's just so irresponsible to take something that is so addicting, especially to young people, but even to everyone.
Right.
And to recommend it as a general treatment for aches and pains. And some people are suffering serious medical conditions with
yeah.
tremendous pain, even life-threatening pain. And I don't know anyone who is fighting to warn people about marijuana who says we don't want people to be able to alleviate their suffering or be treated.
Although I've never understood how increasing the heart rate and blood pressure could possibly help with physical pain.
Well, I don't know.
Marijuana is documented to increase the heart rate and increase blood pressure.
I imagine it could, Doug.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I think it could.
All right.
But
smoking marijuana.
I would think.
No, I don't think smoking marijuana. It introduces the drug too quickly into the system. It's an overload of the system. That's why your blood pressure shoots up, your heart rate shoots up, you start sweating. That can't be good for pain. Now, THC administered therapeutically very well may be good for pain, but I just don't think smoking pot is going to help with pain.
I haven't used it, right? So I can't say
that's
personally.
Good for you, Bob. That's good.
But a lot of people say it helps with their, they don't care anymore. I went
well,
to a dentist.
It could help psychologically. Pain is, a lot of pain is psychological.
I went to a dentist. They administered nitrous oxide to me.
Oh, yeah?
This is years ago, and
well,
I was uncomfortable.
I'd kill for a video of that.
I was uncomfortable with nitrous oxide, with a dentist.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just, who likes the drill sound and all?
Ugh.
And once they gave me the nitrous oxide, I remember saying to them, take out all my teeth. I don't need them. Take them all out. I don't care. And so it alters your mind. You begin to make, you know, irrational judgments.
And that can help you deal with pain, I suppose.
It could. Yeah. Immature Christians who are already vulnerable to long-term recreational drug use, as there are millions
yes.
of people who qualify in that category.
Almost my whole generation.
They have a special weakness, I think, toward medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Because now, hey, this justifies a part of their past.
Mm. Wow.
And having drug use in your past can affect your ability to think clearly. Many long-term marijuana users demonstrate paranoia. Paranoia is part and parcel of the whole marijuana scene.
Yeah.
And Doug, people argue that, well, the reason folks abuse marijuana is because it's illegal, but if we decriminalize it, then it will be used properly.
And I come back with, well, how did that work out for alcohol?
Yeah, right.
I mean, when Prohibition ended, now everyone uses alcohol appropriately because it's legal. There's no stigma.
No, that hasn't occurred.
Of course, alcohol-related violence skyrocketed after Prohibition. Cirrhosis of the liver skyrocketed after Prohibition. And I'm not arguing for Prohibition because the normal use of alcohol, as the Lord used it, does not make you drunk. The normal use of ecstasy makes you high. The normal use of cocaine or heroin makes you high. That's why it should be against the law.
Agreed. Now, probably the biggest question, I think, regarding legalization of drugs or using marijuana, the implications of marijuana use regarding child rearing for parents, families.
Right. You know, kids, if you drink alcohol at home, chances are your kids are going to grow up to drink, have a beer during a barbecue or drink wine with dinner.
Yeah.
And so you smoke pot at home and your kids are going to grow up smoking pot. And they're going to take it for all kinds of reasons. Mm. They can't get to sleep. They've got an exam they got to cram for, and they're nervous, or they're just achy from a hard day at work. Mm. And what, your daughter is going to get in a car with a friend who just had a couple hits on a joint because he's sore from working all day? And you have to, in an emergency, drive your kids to the hospital, your child is injured, and you were just smoking pot because you got a headache?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure if I heard this from you, but I have heard that there is a good litmus test to use to determine if what you're doing is immoral. Mm. If you can't do it openly in front of your children,
that's a good sign.
Generally, not absolutely.
That's a good sign. And you know, Doug, with alcohol, billions of people, billions with a B, cannot get drunk on a sip of wine. Billions of people can't do it.
A glass of wine.
On even a glass of wine, hundreds of millions of people can't get drunk on a glass of wine. But how about taking a hit on a joint? You cannot say the same thing about marijuana.
No.
A single hit affects the moral compass, like with drunkenness. It increases, for example, lust. Now, not everybody has a difficulty with lust, sexual immorality, but the millions, billions who do.
Yeah, the vast majority.
You drink too much alcohol and lust becomes an increased problem because you no longer have that inhibition.
That's right.
And you smoke, you have a hit on a joint or two, God forbid three, because your foot was sore. And now you're making jokes about your neighbor's wife.
Yeah.
Because your foot was sore. Mm. So this is why Christians, like at Denver Bible Church, we warn people.
Now, do you think that in your interaction with Christians who are maybe struggling with this issue, debating this issue, do you find that at least the Christian parents you've talked to, maybe they advocate the legalization or medical use of marijuana, but surely they don't advocate it for their kids?
Well, you know what? I guess they would have to be consistent, but it's scary, you know? And you know what else I think happens with medical marijuana users?
Yeah.
They become proficient at diagnosing all their friends of their ailments.
Well,
they can prescribe and they could even distribute.
Well,
they can hook you up. So churches could have in their directories to get hooked up with pot at church on Sunday morning. Who'd you know, call? Just put asterisks next
number, here's their email.
Yeah. So medical marijuana, the whole decriminalizing marijuana, will be a growing difficulty for churches all over this country who want to protect their families and especially their children from being deceived into taking something for a routine soreness or illness or ailment that it has a high likelihood of getting them addicted and becoming immoral and other types of irresponsible behavior.
And you know, law enforcement for years has said marijuana is a gateway drug, and the legalization of marijuana is a gateway to further legalization of other narcotics.
Absolutely. Doug McBurney, thank you for joining
us
here at Bob and Yurt Live on KGOV.com. If you got people interested in this topic, just send them to our website, KGOV.com. Look up Should Marijuana Be Legal? And you can get the link to this show and send it to your friends.
Is there evidence that God exists? In Bob Enyart's video seminar, Does God Exist?, Bob presents the evidence that God does exist and the evidence that teaches us about God's character. The 2-DVD video set, Does God Exist?, is now available by calling 1-800-8-ENYART and at kgovstore.com. Again, that's kgovstore.com.